My name is Robin Barnes.
I am a New Orleans native, born and raised.
I started singing in church with my family, and then started doing gigs with my family's jazz band. So my roots are pretty much church jazz.
And your new record is called?
Me.
Me. Can you explain that title?
I'm glad you asked that. Not many people do.
Oh. Well, you're welcome.
I called it Me because first time doing my original music, I wanted to show my influences right off the bat. I didn't want to be put in a box, which would be just soul or just blues or just jazz. I wanted to show that, you know, musicians from New Orleans can have kind of a well-roundedness of a sound, even if each song is different. So each song is inspired by experiences in my life, also inspired by the different genres that influence my life, which encompasses who I am, which is why I called it Me.
And are these mostly your own songs?
All but one. I have a dear friend, Travis Henry, goes by Sadis. He actually wrote my fifth song on the album, on the EP, Pieces. He wrote it for me, but it's pretty much all influenced by what was going on in my life. I co-wrote, I want to say, the other three with Shane Terrio, guitar player, who is amazing, and another one with Jake Smith. And the cool thing about first doing my EP, I wrote my songs, but I wanted, I guess, influenced by other musicians who have been there and done that. So a lot of people are just like, oh no, you should just write all your music. Well, then, you know, you don't realize the structure of a song. Everyone sings, everyone thinks that they know how a song can be amazing, but until you have the education of saying, this is really when it's supposed to emphasize the chorus, or this is when it's supposed to, you know, do the bridge and things like that, that takes skill and that takes knowledge. And I'm very open-minded to learning.
In that vein, do you have a favorite pop song or one that you listen to a lot or that stands out to you as a really great example of what you're talking about?
Okay, so my favorite song that I actually listen to that inspires me newer is Luther Vandross' To Dream the Impossible Dream.
Oh, yeah?
If anyone has not heard that song, first of all, I'm sorry. But if you have, you know what I'm saying. I actually listen to that song every Friday before I start a gig. Just because the song is about, you know, to dream the impossible dream, to fight the impossible fight. And, you know, this is my quest to follow that star, no matter how hopeful, no matter how far. You know, this is what I want to do. And that's how I feel about music, because music is so beneficial and so rewarding when you accomplish what you need at that point. But it's hard. I mean, if being a musician was easy, then everyone would do it. You know, but you have to have that focus. You have to have that dedication to follow that dream. And I mean, that's what I pretty much decided when I said I was going to do music full time, you know, following that dream. So in that poppy song, Luther Vandross, that is it. That is the song for me.
Yeah. you mentioned growing up singing in churches. What churches did you go to as a kid?
My family, true musicians, play at multiple churches. So growing up, I sung at St. David Catholic Church, St. Peter Clavered, and St. Jude. That in itself was a learning experience because every church has an identity. I mean, all of them. In New Orleans, music in churches is just as soulful as going to a regular concert or festival. And each one has their own identity, which requires you to have to be able to adapt to the feel of each church. Some of them will really be rocking, and then some of them are like traditional jazz singing or opera. So that my background in opera really helps out a lot.
Can you tell me a little more about the experience of singing in churches as a kid?
Oh, man. I think the best way as a singer to learn how to actually, I want to say, have a soul when they sing is in church, because right off the bat, church is almost critical. The people, you want them to clap. Everyone will clap, maybe, if you do a good solo. My first solo, I sung. I was so nervous. I was so the quiet kid. I did not like to sing. I wanted to stay in the back. And sometimes I used to not even sing. I used to just mimic like watermelon so my mouth looked like it moved. But I was forced to do a solo, and I did the Ave Maria. And when I saw people crying, I, like, you know, teary-eyed and crying, including my mom, I knew then that it wasn't so much of just singing a song to sing it. It was about passion, and it was about people feeling it. And I think church is an amazing place that you get the raw reaction, whether or not people like it, whether or not people feel it, or they're just like, okay, let's go to communion next. You know?
So how does your background in church music influence or inform your singing today?
I think regardless, having church, it makes you realize that you want your music to be felt. And when I say felt, I mean, like, I want, when people hear each song of mine, I am writing so they can understand what I'm feeling, and hopefully they can feel it themselves. The point of church music is it's putting you in a mood, you know, whether it's during, you know, Good Friday when it's supposed to be sad and sorrowful, you know, the music changes in church. And then when it's joyful, it's happy, you know, everyone's clapping, everyone's dancing. And that influences my music to now. Even with jazz, you know, you have to be able to translate what exactly the point you're trying to make in your music into how the people hear it and how they're going to feel when they hear it.
So where in town do you sing on a regular basis?
I perform every Thursday at Windsor Court Hotel, 5:30 to 8:30, and then I perform every Friday, Montley on First from 5 to 8, and Windsor Court 9 to midnight. Now, I'll tell you, that is a challenge as a singer, singing 6 hours straight or more. That's when you know you can do it. It's like a marathon training.
And what's it like after you finished a set like that?
You know, when I do festivals and I sing my heart out and I'm done, and when people are clapping and cheering, that is the best feeling in the world. And even with the maybe smaller scale in the hotels, at the end of the show, it's like a rush. It's like adrenaline. You know, you feel accomplished. You know, I'm not singing because I feel like singing. I'm singing because I want you to feel it. I'm singing because I want you to connect and enjoy yourself. But also, just remember that music is beautiful. And when I find out that even if it's one person that gets it, I feel at peace. I feel happy, you know. Even in France when we just got back, you know, the people, everyone stood up. They like standing. Every song we finished, everyone was standing and clapping. And it was just like an awe. You know, we love when people actually enjoy themselves. That's what it's about.
So you were just in France recently.
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
I was performing for a Douce Cognac event.
Which is?
It is alcohol.
Yeah.
It was the release of their new cognac from the, I guess it was several different events going on, and we got hired for that one. And it was, oh man, it was epic. It was in Chateau de Cognac, which I was joking when I Instagrammed. I was like, oh, it's in a castle. And we did the tour, and we found it actually was a castle. And we were in the Great Hall.
They've got them over there.
Yeah, you know, just a couple. We were in the same hall that King Henry, I think the 4th, had his banquet to celebrate his first son. That was insane. You know, my piano player and I were just like, you realize we've been where royalty have been. Like, it was just, it was an amazing, amazing event. And then everyone in France loves jazz. I mean, I could have said I did anything else and they would have been like, oh, cool. But we were like, oh, we do jazz. They're like, oh, I love jazz. That was the response from everyone. Like, I love jazz. Do you have your CD? You know, can we see you? And things like that. It was a great experience, and I can't wait to go back. They feed you a lot there too. So it was kind of like home, you know. New Orleans, like, we're so hospitable to people. We love making people have a good time and feed them and make sure they have enough drinks. That's how France was for us. So anything that feeds me and lets me sing, I'm sold for life.
So who are some of your other favorite players in town? Are there people that you've worked with a lot over the years?
Yeah, when I first started, Kermit Ruffins used to let me sit in a lot. That's a cool guy. I used to perform with, I sit in sometimes with, I used to perform with Matt Limmler for a while at Hotel Monteleone. That was a great experience. It used to be him and Steve Mezikowski. Two great musicians in New Orleans. And then definitely when I first started, I was sitting in with everyone, anyone and everyone. I think I learned a lot from Matt Limmler and Kermit. Totally different ways, though. Anyone that knows Kermit knows Kermit's an entertainer. That's an amazing talent. You have to be skillful in that way, because anyone can sing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I truly believe that there are so many beautiful singers and so many great musicians, but if you can't entertain, what makes you different from the next person? And that's the cool thing about being young. You know, you're learning that music isn't just about singing a song. It's about so many more aspects to it to make it, you know, what you want people to understand, what you want people to enjoy.
Yeah. Dave Bartholomew is a relative of yours, correct?
Yes, he's my cousin.
What's been your musical relationship with him over the years?
You know, I go to Dave a lot for advice. The last time I went to visit him, he really stressed the whole doing what I love no matter what. He said that I need to just always be Robin, but I need to be smart about it. You know, he's been through a lot with his music, and he was in the day where you had to learn a little bit of the business side. And I never forget, we were in his den, and he was explaining to me, he was like, you know, I love what I do. I do music. Been doing music my whole life. But I was smart about it. I learned that I need to be smart as far as business and how to make it, you know, sustainable to continue what I'm doing and to be able to, when I retire, have a comfortable lifestyle. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm figuring it out and everything. And that first question he asked me, so do you have the rights and royalties to all your music? Did you sign up with a company? And I was like, oh, yeah, I signed up with BMI. And he goes, oh, good, we're keeping it in the family. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, great, great, great. And then he's like, so let me show you why this is important. And he brought to my attention, we went and we saw, I think he has about 20 to 30 certificates from BMI, gold award, silver award, and it's just according to how much royalties he's received. And I'm just like, oh my God, man. And he's like, you know, you have to enjoy what you do, but you have to be smart. And that's one thing I will never forget. I have to be able to take care of myself, but enjoy what I do. The most crucial thing, which I couldn't believe he told me, was I told him about the day. I was like, you know, I love being Robin, and Robin is jazz. Robin is a multi-genre kind of thing. Can I do both? That's really what I asked him. And he was like, why not? Who says you can't? Who says that you can't do what you love, and who says what you love can't be more than one thing? You're doing what you're doing. As long as people can distinguish between the two, why not? The sky's the limit. And to have an older musician who's been there and done that, seen the world, I was expecting him to go, nope. Can't do that. Been there, tried to do that. It's not going to happen. But, you know, he's like, who says that can't happen? Who says that? Things change every day. Generations change every day. So that's why I tell everyone, like, you know, the song again, Dream the Impossible Dream. Who says it can't happen?
Yeah. Well, Robin, thank you so much for coming and talking with me.
Oh, thank you so much.
The album's called Me, and it's available, I guess, at Louisiana Music Factory, other
Louisiana
places.
Louisiana Music Factory, Peaches, uh-huh. And it's also available on CD Baby and iTunes.
Great. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.